Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When we learn to pray for the world, our minds and hearts are expanded. We see Earth as the planet God visited with a promise of redemption. Our prayers need to focus on the missionaries dedicated to reaching this needy world. Stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a five-part series on prayer that makes a difference. Now join us for the conclusion of part four, praying for the world.
And then, of course, what we need to do is to pray for the people of God. I don't have time to comment on it, but Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his vineyard." We ought to pray that God will raise up many people from Moody Church who go to the remotest parts of the earth in different ways. There's all kinds of mission work today. It's not just simply a pith helmet living out somewhere in a thatched roof hut. But what we ought to be doing is to pray and to say, "Oh God, raise up people from all different groups and ages and send them out." Now we're praying within the will of God. Jesus told us to pray that. Now we can pray in confidence, no longer wondering now, you know, is this what God wants to do? Is it not what he wants to do? What is his will? My dear friend, it's revealed. That is his will. So we begin to get in line with the breeze and we set our sail so that we blow right along with what God is intending to do in the world. And we begin to pray for those who have gone, the customs of the countries, the climate, their health, their loneliness, their mental and emotional stability, the children of missionaries. My dear friend, you and I have no idea what couples like the Counts go through. They're too modest to tell us the whole story as to what it's like. It's difficult out there. It's lonely out there. You're misunderstood out there. You're not appreciated out there when all the while you could be in the United States making big bucks. And that's why we need people who are going to pray. I know this from speaking to missionaries. If we had 20 people totally committed to praying for Brian and Carol and for other missionaries and to say, by God's grace, these are the ones for whom we pray in a committed combat way, so that we're going to pray against Satan and we're going to pray that the barriers will be taken down, I want you to know that it would revolutionize what our missionaries would be able to do wherever they are, because primarily, fundamentally, at root, it is a spiritual battle, a spiritual battle. Do you know that in the year 1727, a man by the name of Count Zinzendorf was in charge of a little congregation in Herrenhut, Germany, Saxony, actually, as it was called in those days. We're talking about the year 1727, and the church was divided and there was bickering, and so Zinzendorf said, "You know, I want us to pray 24 hours a day." So 24 people signed up for an hour. So that 24 hours a day, prayer was being offered to God. Then they continued to have other people participate, and the number of people that were praying per hour increased. Do you know that by 1792, that's about 65 years later, that little church had sent more than 300 missionaries to all different parts of the world, including the West Indies, Greenland, Turkey, and all over the place? Why do I say 65 years later? Because that's the year that William Carey preached his famous sermon in England, in which he challenged the people to let him go to India. And he says, "Attempt great things for God and expect great things for God." And evidently he was told that if God wanted to convert the heathen, he could do it without him. And so we always say in the history of missions that William Carey is the founder of modern missions. But I want you to know that William Carey used the example of the Moravians to motivate his Baptist church, which incidentally today in London is across the street now from a huge mosque. He motivated his church to become like the Moravians. Do you know that that prayer meeting that was begun by Count Zinzendorf evidently lasted for 100 years? For 100 years, that little community, generation after generation, would invite people to sign up for an hour a day of prayer, particularly focused on the heathen, the text says, especially those in whom most people have no interest. That's the way it was phrased. And they prayed. And hundreds of missionaries went. And one day there was a Moravian meeting in London. And a man by the name of John Wesley, who had already been to the United States trying to do mission work and not knowing that he was unconverted, went to the meeting. And in those days, they didn't always have preachers like they do today. All that the person did was read the introduction to Luther's commentary on the book of Romans. One day I read that introduction, and I wondered at what place John Wesley said his heart was strangely warmed, and he was born again of the Holy Spirit, listening to Luther's introduction to the book of Romans. But that was a Moravian meeting. Part of the overflow of what happened in that little community of Herrenhut as the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached and prayer went on incessantly. And some of the greatest stories of missionary history and endeavor can be traced to that prayer meeting that lasted 100 years. I want you to notice God's principle of how he wins victories. Would you turn to one more passage today? It's the book of Leviticus. That may be a bit of an odd book. You may think that you're surprised that I'm asking you to turn to Leviticus. It's one that we often don't refer to. But God is talking to the Israelites about how to win a war. And that's what we've been speaking about here today. And I want you to notice how God does arithmetic. He does it a little differently than most of us do with our calculators. It says in chapter 26, verse 7 of Leviticus, but you will chase. Did I give you I think I hear too many Bibles turning. I must have given a wrong reference. Let me say it one more time. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 7. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100. Well, I'm not very good at math, but I think that that sounds to me like a ratio of 1 to 20. All right? Are we agreed? And 100 of you will chase, 10,000. Well, I had to do a little bit more work on this one than the previous one, but I think it comes out to a ratio of 1 to 100. Well, that's interesting. And your enemies, the text says, will fall before you by the sword. You get one person praying, and that prayer will accomplish only what one person's prayer can accomplish, and it may be much, but not everything. You get 5 people praying, and suddenly, more than just accomplishing 5 times that amount, suddenly the text is telling us 20 times that amount. And then you get 100 people praying, and it's not just 20 times that amount, now it's 100 times that amount. That's the way God does arithmetic. That's why we're emphasizing prayer groups here. We're emphasizing that you have a prayer partner. We call it triple cord. That's why we have the prayer meeting on Wednesday that is now exactly focused on praying and warfare praying. And that's why the church is open at 7 o'clock Friday mornings. It's because our great desire is to increase the number of combat prayers at Moody Church, because the text is telling us that as we increase the number of people who understand the burden of prayer, the results begin to multiply exponentially. I hope I pronounced that correctly. It's been a while since I've been in math class. But that's exactly what God does. You know, we look at these apartment buildings here in the area. We think of the countries of the world that we've already spoken about, and we say, oh, you know, the human heart is so hard. Oh, in Turkey, there are no Christians. In Greece, the church is almost ready to die. Oh, it's tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. My dear friend, I hope you grasp something today of the fact that the gospel will eventually be triumphant. Eventually, every knee shall bow. Eventually, there will be representatives from every family on planet Earth and every language group. God is not about to lose. His purposes are on target. But I also want you to know that the way in which God accomplishes his purpose is for a burden for people to begin to pray. Choose a couple of missionaries in a couple of countries in which they serve and say, that is my prayer target, and I am going to do combat praying for the advancement of the gospel in the countries of the world. You're praying right in line with what God is going to do, right in the middle of his will. One day a stone cutter was squatting down and taking some hard stones and chiseling them to make them fit, and a minister walked by and said, you know, I wish it would be possible for me to chisel and to mold hard human hearts just like you can mold and chisel hard stone. The stone cutter said, I think you can do that if you work like I do, on your knees. Yeah. I'm calling you in the name of Christ to prayer. I plead with you, those of you who do not know how to intercede, would you learn? Would you learn? Would you help us to teach you? Would you come to Wednesday prayer service? Would you use the opportunities that we've given? Because it is prayer that will accomplish much, right in line with what God is doing. Join me as we pray. Our Father, today, our hearts are so refreshed to know that the eventual victory of Christ is unquestioned. We thank you today that we can look to a future with apodictic certainty, knowing that in the end you will triumph, and mightily. We thank you for the countries of the world that are closed and hearts that are closed, and we thank you only because we know that these barriers are nothing in light of your power and your awesome purposes. And when the time comes, every single barrier and wall is going to crumble so that you will be undisputed ruler and honored by every tongue that you've created.
My friend, today, if you are a listener to Running to Win, you know that the heart of our message is always the gospel of Jesus Christ and the triumph of Christ over all things. We hope that you are encouraged as a result of these times together, times of instruction, times of rebuke, times of challenge, because our hearts desire that the glory of God be extended around the world. And we believe that a part of that, a very important part, is prayer. Would you remember us in prayer? Pray for the ministry of Running to Win as we share the gospel around the world.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Praying for the World, the fourth in a five-part series on prayer that makes a difference. Next time, we'll hear part five, Praying for the Glory of God. Prayer that makes a difference can be yours on CD. All five messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.